The following podcast is scheduled for one fall. From the heart of Broadway in historic downtown Cape Girardeau, this is Pro Wrestling Unscripted.
Wednesdays are for pro wrestling, and that of course means another edition of Pro Wrestling Unscripted right here on the Podzilla 1985 network. I am your host for the evening. I am the five-star man, Asa Gray, and joining me at this time, as always, is the Big D, Dalton Anthony.
Yo.
And as you know, Podzilla, we record our shows live on facebook.com/podzilla1985. I was unable to get OBS to work. It would not bring up our video feeds from the Discord call, so this is audio only this week, but the rest of the shows will be, you know, don't let this discourage you from going to the Facebook page and watching the other shows get recorded.
Would you
and
say,
ideally, fingers crossed, us recording PWU live there next week.
Yes. Would you say that OBS was giving you OB stress?
All right, and that's going to do it for this week in Pro Wrestling Unscripted.
I know you want to punch me right now. I really do. But that joke's been sitting there for like 30 seconds, and it had to hit the air.
Oh, it did it.
A little bit, yeah.
Did it? I don't know if it did. Anyway, we got stuff to talk about. It's been a couple weeks since we did a show because last week was my birthday. I didn't really want to record because I was doing stuff with Audra and family, so. And then the week before that,
it was work-related. It was work-related for me, where I was like, hey, okay. I was coming back from being off work to work, and I was, like, already sick from being around people again.
Oh, okay, yeah. Because yeah. I was like, I know there was a reason, but I couldn't remember what it was.
It was me that time.
But we're back. We got stuff to talk about, a lot of cool stuff to talk about, including we finally have confirmation of when SummerSlam is going to be. It's not on a day that you would expect because it's on a Saturday this year instead of a Sunday,
which is real weird.
So, yeah, it is going to be Saturday, August 21st. It will be at the Allegiant Stadium in Las Vegas, Nevada. I need to double check because, man, take this with a real thick boulder of salt. Mm-hmm. Because I want to say it's also starting earlier than normal because there's a big boxing match. It's either a boxing match or an MMA fight that's also in Vegas that same day. Which they're not wanting to compete with.
That but wouldn't I don't shock me.
But it's also entirely possible that that fight is on a Sunday, and that's why they're doing it Saturday. I don't remember, and this is from, like, it seems like this was announced, like, this is a story we would have talked about in the last 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Let me see if I can.
I know MMA usually ends up hitting on Saturdays, so if it's anything like that, it's probably boxing. Like, if they were avoiding it for a day, it was probably boxing. Because MMA usually does hit Saturdays, at least all the big fights. It's very interesting that it's going to be at the Allegiant Stadium. I'm pretty sure, Cody, correct me if I'm wrong, but that's where the Raiders play.
Yes, it is.
Yeah. So, I mean, pretty bold to go back to an NFL stadium. Not, like, it's one of those things where I'm kind of conflicted on it. Like, I wasn't going to go to it anyway. I did my big football stadium wrestling show a couple years ago with you. And honestly, I don't need to do another one. Like, it was a fun experience, but we were super high up. Those seats weren't comfy. The only reason I was half comfortable was because I lucked out and the guy next to me bought two seats so he could be comfortable.
I forgot about that.
Yeah, because Sarge was like, oh, I don't want to sit by the random person. I was like, I will, I don't care. And then I was like, who's sitting? Like, is somebody coming here? And he was like, no, I bought two seats so I didn't have to sit right next to somebody. And I'm like, word.
And you were like, you were my favorite person in this arena.
Yeah, like there's 80,000 people and you are the coolest fucking one. but yeah, so I've done that. But when we did it, like, there was a, was it, there was like a sickness that broke out in New Orleans. I don't remember what it was, but it happened at the Hall of Fame the Friday night. But that wasn't COVID. Like, it was worse than COVID because, like, it's a lot more dangerous. But was it like, it wasn't typhoid, but it was like, did somebody have tuberculosis?
I have no idea what you're talking about. I don't remember this at all.
I'm going to Google it.
I know we didn't go to...
It was Hall of Fame.
I remember we... Mm-hmm.
But because we were going to go to the Hall of Fame, and then we were like, no, I have it on, I have the network on my phone, and I have unlimited data. We'll just watch it in, on the back porch, which was on stilts because we were in New fucking Orleans.
Yeah.
And we watched it there, and we got through Hillbilly Jim's, and I think Sarge got half drunk then. But there was...
No, Sarge was just... Sarge got annoyed because of how long Hillbilly Jim's speech took.
That's right. That's what it
was. Because we were watching it. We started on the porch. We were getting eaten up by mosquitoes. We went inside and were watching it in the kitchen. Sarge went outside to smoke. He came back in and he took a phone call or he called someone while he was out there. He came back in and it was still Hillbilly Jim. He was like, how is he still on? Why haven't they given him the hook yet? Which was hilarious.
It was
to
the
me.
Measles. There was a measles outbreak and the person was at the Hall of Fame. I knew it was something to not fuck with. But no, anyway, that was a very isolated incident in WWE history with a sickness. This is COVID-19. We're not all the way over the hump yet. And it's like, oh, we're going to pack a bunch of people in this football stadium. I understand that we are getting more back to normal, but I don't know how comfortable I would be going. And I'm fully vaccinated. Yeah. Like,
yeah, I saw a thing on Twitter that it's like people saying that they didn't want to be guinea pigs for an unknown vaccine. It's like, all right, well then have fun being a guinea pig for the Delta strain of COVID.
I don't want to F with that at all. But yeah, no, yeah, I mean, it's cool that we're getting back to live shows because in the bits and pieces we have seen on TV and like even personally with like indie shows getting to have fans back, it's been a lot better atmosphere. It feels like as a whole, it feels like the crowd's more loving than what they were before. It seems like the performers are really enjoying getting to wrestle in front of humans again. For WWE, I bet it's a night and day difference because they went from performing to 200 LCD screens to fans and then went right back to the screens. So I mean, I'm excited for if there's anybody I'm excited for SummerSlam, it's the wrestlers. Because they get to go, like, they're going to get that next big, like,
they got their fix at WrestleMania, now they get they get a big one. I did find it, by the way. Manny Pacquiao versus Errol Spence Jr. is going to also be on August 21st, also in Las Vegas.
Manny Pacquiao is still boxing.
So.
This has to be an exhibition.
It doesn't... I don't see... I'm on ESPN's website.
I mean, it's not important. Like, this is very much me just talking out my ass at this point.
Yeah. And then, so this article is from May 21st, and it says that the venue has not been determined yet. But it will happen in Vegas. Mm-hmm. There's still, you know, there's just under 2 months until the actual fight. Until the actual show. So plenty of time for us to figure out exactly when that start time is and if I am remembering that correctly. Because I also know that the main event of, like, the undercard for a lot of those boxing shows and MMA shows are, you know, there's like, you'll get 15 fights before the fight anybody actually cares about. So it'll be like 12. I remember we went over to someone's house because there was a big main event at UFC and... Because in college, I actually watched a lot of UFC.
We all did.
And one of my buddies from Red Lobster bought it. We went over, and it was one of those, because they build those cards because in theory, a lot of those fights aren't going the full 3-5 rounds.
Yeah.
You know, if there's a championship match, it's not going to go the full 7. There, you know, you're looking for knockouts, you're looking for tap outs, you're looking for, you know, submissions, all that. This one, it was like every single fight went to decision. The main event didn't start until like almost 1 o'clock, it felt like. And we were just like, I think I left before the main event because I was just like, I'm too drunk and my ride is coming to get me.
So do you remember the first like SmackDown on Fox main event? It was Kofi versus Brock Lesnar, and that match lasted maybe 15 seconds.
No, I don't.
All right, cool.
That never happens.
So I think that WWE did that on purpose because the last time a big combat sport thing went on Fox for the first time live, it was UFC. When they did theirs, it was Cain Velasquez versus Brock Lesnar. And this was a big thing. It was on network television. You didn't have to pay for this fight. It was UFC on Fox 1. And it was Cain Velasquez versus Brock Lesnar. And Cain Velasquez whipped that ass so quick. Like, they were building it up, hyping it up, and it ended in, like, the first 2 minutes of the first round.
Mm-hmm.
And it was sad. So it's one of those, now in hindsight, I'm like, oh, Brock probably said I want to beat him in 15 seconds, get that W back.
I very much don't think those two things are related even slightly.
No, but it was funny that we were talking about UFC.
I do think that Brock won... Was he supposed to fight Velasquez at WWE when he took the title off of Kofi?
I don't know if that was the game plan. Maybe. I mean, they might have been.
Oh, it absolutely would have been. There was no reason Velasquez was going to WWE if it was not to have a confrontation with Brock Lesnar. There is a 0.000 infinite 0% chance.
Don't say that
those two were not going to...
Don't say that
name. We're not going to cross paths. Uh-huh. And that was because it was the Hogan. It had to have been the Hogan Warrior mentality of Vince is like, okay, you embarrassed my guy, I'm going to embarrass your guy. I just don't remember if it was Kofi that had to. I think it was, because I think that was the match that Lesnar won. And then it was supposed to be like him versus Velasquez at Saudi Arabia or something.
And then Velasquez and then got the world, hurt.
Yeah. And then, you know, and then COVID and happened. Everything. Yeah. So, but. I don't remember how we got on this train of thought from
Vegas,
boxing, MMA. There it is.
Yeah.
I did it. I did it all of myself. so that's fun. I'm excited for it. Like, just shut up. I like SummerSlam. It's always fun. And the rumors are that they are wanting this card to be basically bigger than WrestleMania this year, because this is the first time they're going to have a at capacity, you know, full football stadium full of fans. So
yeah,
this is where I'm willing to bet. Like, I think we're going to get Lashley versus Lesnar. I think that happens here. I think this potentially could be, I don't think it'll be The Rock, but I do think they're trying to, I think they're pushing hard for Cena Roman.
Yeah. I can see
because
that.
Because I do. Although there was a, I don't know if I sent you this or not, but there was a video where Cena's doing the talk show circuit.
Derek sent it to me.
And the woman who isn't even like a wrestling fan, but she had the absolute smoothest slide in of the, so any big summer plans? Just, you know, enjoying my summer, you know, going to be going to Vegas, maybe around the 21st. And he's just like, I'm doing a lot of these tours and stuff, so maybe, I'm not really sure why, what's on the 21st? And that's when she was like, well, there's a certain event. And it, like, I feel so bad for him because it was so smooth, he didn't even notice.
Yeah.
That basically she was trying to get him to admit that he was going to be doing something for SummerSlam. And he was just like, oh, I got to nip this in the bud. I'm sorry. My schedule with Peacemaker, is that the name of it? Is that the name of his character?
Yeah.
In Suicide Squad? Peacemaker, because he's getting his own HBO show. You know, he's doing all this. The quarantine rules for the production set are pretty strict. And he's just like, you know, I'm not trying to get anybody's hopes up. I'm not trying to, I didn't know that was the date. You were very smooth. You were very slick. But I can't feed into that. Like, but maybe, you know, it's wrestling. You got to take I know I have to get better about just like taking people at their word and not being the, oh, but what if, you know, the hype machine, cause that's something I'm trying to work on, but that would be cool. But I'm very curious who, you know, Lesnar and Lashley being the match, because God help me if they do Lesnar and Roman again.
Because
it would make sense, because Heyman's with Roman now. Like, what does Paul Heyman do? How does he fall on it? I was watching, it's been a couple months since I've seen it, but Wrestling with Regret, he reviewed the ECW pay-per-view where Bill Alfonso was representing both Sabu and RVD in their match against each other. Yeah. And he, like, helped each one of them cheat, like, a single time just to, like, make things balanced. Like, that would be funny. But I really hope we don't... We've seen too many Roman Lesnar matches, even with such a dynamic shift between the two of their characters. Like, have Lesnar come back as not even necessarily a face, but with super heel Roman. No, thank you. People have been clamoring for Lashley Lesnar since Lashley came back to the company.
Yeah.
So give me that. But if with a stacked... With such a strong match there, what do you have Roman do?
Yeah, I don't think it's the right answer for it. I do think that bringing in or having Lesnar going against Lashley and having Paul Heyman have to pull double duty that night makes a way better story, in my opinion, because there's a couple different things you could do. Ideally, what I would like to see is Lesnar win his match with whoever, and then Roman lose, and then Roman, like, I'm going to say beat the shit out of Heyman, although that won't happen, but beat the shit out of Heyman because Heyman was way too worried about Brock and didn't focus on him enough, and he's the head of the table, or the tribal chief, and he should have acknowledged him instead of acknowledging Lesnar. I think that would be a good story going out of it, but, I mean, now that you say it, it's going to be Roman Lesnar. Like, now that you just put that back out there for me, it's going to be that.
No.
Because that's the thing. That's the thing that's the least interesting to me, and that's been WWE's MO for a couple minutes now.
Well, and how do you? What do you? Does Lesnar just not have Heyman with him? Because that would suck.
Maybe that
act is so money. Like as annoyed as we were with it, as you know, as much as we hated to see Lesnar just you know hold that title hostage and I've never defend it. The Heyman aspect of it. Almost made it tolerable.
Oh,
because
yeah.
Heyman is going out there dropping, you know, greatest of all time promos on a weekly basis. So to see Heyman either, like you said, have to pull double duty and represent both, or does Lesnar just, you know, who could possibly replace Heyman? No one.
Bill Alfonso. So bring him back.
That'd be pretty fantastic. I'm not going to lie. So I'm excited to see, but we still have to get through money. Oh, Money in the Bank. I'm going to ask the general audience this. I'm willing to bet a lot of you who are listening to this already follow me on Twitter. But if you don't, I ask the question, and I really, really need an answer because I feel like I'm insane. At Money in the Bank, right now, the advertised match is going to be Bobby Lashley defending the WWE title against Kofi Kingston. What I am asking the audience is to confirm for me, is this the very first time that the WWE Championship has been defended one-on-one between two black men? Because I know The Rock beat Booker T to win the WCW title, but I'm talking strictly WWE title. And I know it's not the first time between two people of color because Kofi defended against Samoa Joe.
Yeah.
So I'm strictly, you know, I know it's a lot of bubbles, you know, to get real specific on, but I really think this is the first time that it's two black men fighting for the actual title one-on-one, because I don't think Kofi did, because his defenses were, it was Joe, it was Ziggler, it was Owens, Lesnar, and I think those were his four he had more matches. Like, yeah. There's a combination between, like, Owens and Joe, or Joe and Ziggler, or something like that. But it's The Rock is the one that I'm really not 100% sure on. I just don't know who it would have been at the time, like, if it was an actual title match. So, I think that would be a cool note to, like, hit. I just want to make sure that it's accurate before I really, you know, start talking about it more. And again, like, not talking about the World Heavyweight Championship, not talking about the WCW Championship, just straight up the WWE title. So help me out with that if you would. Also something that you can help out with, Don West, who, if you were an old school TNA fan, you know Don West as one half of one of the most exciting broadcast teams in wrestling commentary, between him and Mike Tenay. But Don West, who hasn't been doing much with wrestling, but he has his own radio show. He's a big sports personality now. It was unfortunately announced that he was diagnosed with a brain lymphoma. So that obviously sucks. But his wife did set up a GoFundMe. The goal was $20,000. When I checked this morning, they were a little over halfway. They were just over the $10,000 mark. So if you have the means, if you're able to, check out that GoFundMe, you know, give what you can, if you can. And at the very least, you know, keep him and his family in your thoughts, prayers, send positive vibes, whatever type of universal altering energy you believe in, send them that way, because they could definitely use it. And honestly, like, I at the time think that I was like, oh, he's way too hyped up, he's way too like crazy to like actually be like this. But it's like, oh no, the more I like go back, because like watching older TNA stuff, especially like older AJ and Christopher Daniels stuff and Joe stuff that I've been watching a lot of, he's always just been like, he brings that energy, and it's just, it's a lot of fun. Also, the promo where he turns heel and he just like runs down TNA for like 4 minutes is incredible. Someone posted that on Reddit as well, and it's just like, oh, this was actually really good.
So in the day, like, my going to the internet would always be like going to Marvel's website and looking up superhero facts. And then another thing is I would go to WWE and Impact's, well, TNA's website. And TNA had one of the better websites because they had an embedded playing video at all times of Don West's Deal of the Week or Deal of the Day or whatever the fuck it was. And
Brown Bag Special.
Every day I would go and watch that. And I don't know if it was every week or every day, but whenever it would change, I'd watch it just to see the shit he would try to sell and then try to convince my mom to give me credit card information so I could buy some of it. Never worked, but the man was a hell of a salesman. I've been, Jeff Jarrett has a podcast, and they were talking about the first Impact or the first TNA show. And they were like, yeah, so in the dark match, we had a 450-pound guy break the ring. So we were going to, he was like, Jeff Jarrett was like, I was going to have a 6-man X Division match open the show. It was going to be very WCW, like, cruiserweight feel of just like, here's a bunch of guys. Like, it was going to be like Jerry Lynn, Sanjay Dutt, like AJ Styles, all these guys. And the ring breaks. So then they had to bring out all the NWA legends. It felt like that one segment in TLC that we were at where you have all the St. Louis legends. But like, you're apparently trying to wrangle all these guys. And then Don West, who's like, love Don West, Don West is amazing, but the dude only did like Home Shopping Network before that and never did anything like live. And he was like, thank God he stuck around, because that had to have been a nightmare for that guy, because I'm sure he was like on pins and needles. It was his first time doing something like that, and then the first thing gets fucked up. And he was just, he was saying how awesome Don was and that, like, those kind of situations. Like, no, he was pretty solid all the time. It's just that first one, I'm sure, freaked him out. And I was like, and it was the first thing that ever happened. But yeah, no, I always loved Don West. He was so much fun, like, on the show. Again, and I would go to TNA's website just to see what the Don West Deal of the Day was. And sometimes...
It
wasn't always for the shit. Sometimes it was just to see him plug stuff. The man was fun. Or is fun.
Oh, yeah, no. Yeah, and it's one of those, like, if I cared about sports, like, I'm sure his radio show would be great.
Yeah.
But, like, it's too out of my wheelhouse to be able to listen to it. So
that's kind of
all our best to Don and his family. What were we gonna say?
I was gonna say it's kind of the same thing with McAfee, where I'm like, that's another person I can hear talk for days, but I can only watch his YouTube show because it's like 5-minute clips.
I enjoy when he has like wrestlers on, or before he debuted for SmackDown, when he had Michael Cole on, and it was like Cole doing a video call from his car. That was funny. So, yeah, it's a bit sad news, but he's already receiving treatment. He's already, you know, doing what he can. So if you have the means, hit up, check out the GoFundMe for him. So switching gears and everything else, like, this is, we got good news all the way through. The bad news is bad, but the rest of the show is good news. So that makes me happy. Mickie James has announced that she is joining NWA as a producer, and as part of that, she is helping run a pay-per-view that is an all-women's pay-per-view featuring women within and outside of NWA. It is called Empower, and it's with the three R's, because that's the NWA power. That's their branding. And the coolest bit of news for that is it's going to be in St. Louis. The tentative date is Saturday, August 28th at the Chase Park Plaza.
Wrestling at the Chase.
Wrestling is coming back to the Chase for the first time in how long?
Ever.
When people thought it was going to be dead, like for dead and buried forever. So
anytime one of my coworkers hears that I do what I do on the weekends, they're like, "Oh, so like Wrestling at the Chase?" And I'm like, "Oh, I work with old people. I forget that I work with old people." Like that, because that's what they go to. They don't go to like Monday Night Raw. They go with Wrestling at the Chase. Mm-hmm. And right now, Kevin Huntsberger is smiling because he's probably the only person in our like wheelhouse of fans that listen to us regularly. They're just like, "What's Wrestling at the Chase?" Kevin is smiling. Not saying that Kevin's old.
I was going to say, not anymore. You just called him old.
I called
Kevin, you have my permission at the next Stride show, at the next taping, when you see Dalton, you get either, and I'm going to leave this up to you, you can kick him in the shin, or you can give him just one solid backhand.
He'll take
and
both.
Dalton won't do anything. There will be no retaliation. Yeah. And if he does, let me know, and I will handle it. So... Hope you're doing well, Kevin.
I love you, Kevin.
But no, it's super cool that this is happening as an actual like all women's show. Like, there's been a lot of discussion around if WWE is going to run an Evolution 2, and how those talks seemingly are absolutely not going to happen, because it very much was a we need to. Have the internet talk about something that isn't our deal with Saudi Arabia weeks after they murdered a journalist. So that was and also that no woman can come to this trip because of we're going to Saudi Arabia. So that very much was just a let's calm people down and give them a little novelty thing, little novelty distraction while nothing actually changes. So this seems like it's more, and also I'm really excited to see who they bring in for it, because they've already had like a lot of people kind of send out, like I've seen posts on Twitter about like, hey, who would you like to see show up? We've seen people like Chelsea Green talk about wanting to be a part of it. Mickie James herself has said that she will wrestle for NWA, but she's not going to book herself for this show. She did a show with, I never say his name right because I'm stupid, but Chris Van Vliet?
Van Vliet.
Van Vliet. It's the Favre thing.
Yo.
I know it's spelled Vliet, but I always see it as V-I-L in my head. And yeah. I don't know. I am stupid. My brain just does not work.
I think Sadie taught me that one. I feel like that's the one that she would help me with.
Okay. But yeah, so part of that interview is I'm not a mark. I'm not going to sit there and book myself on top of my own show. Who does that? Everybody does that, don't they? That's how wrestling works. I don't have any intention of working on the show. I'll probably come out and say hello, but I really want to focus on the show. I want the show to be a success, and I'm going to be in Gorilla on the headset running and talking. I can't perform that job to the best of my abilities and be out there wrestling at the same time. I just feel like it blurs the lines. I'm not saying I won't wrestle, and I am an independent contractor. I can show up anywhere and do all kinds of things. I can still wrestle, and I'm pretty good at it. And then an interview later, she did, talked about how she's going to be at NWA 73, which is a separate show. So, mm-hmm.
Mickie James fucking rules.
I love that, just like how she's just like, I'm not going to sit there and book myself on top of my own show. Who does that? Everybody does that, don't they? Like, she immediately had the realization of just like, no, literally every company that is run by a wrestler, at some point that wrestler ends up on top, and it's for a varying reason. It's, you know, we know it's for separate reasons.
Yeah,
sometimes it's just because they want to see their own ego be stroked, and well, I've not been given my fair shot anywhere else, so damn it, I'm going to make it myself. But then also there's sometimes where it's like, no, it's because they're legitimately the best one, that they like, they're the best person that can represent the company.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of different takes you can have on there.
See,
and I'm sure we just made a lot of people mad talking about that.
I think my favorite part of it was, I can still wrestle and I'm quite good at it. Like, yes, Mickie James, you are fairly competent at the art of grappling. You done it in a couple of the biggest stages of all time.
Right.
But no, that's the takeaway I had, is like, I can still wrestle and I'm quite good at it. It's just like, and that's why I said she's fucking rules. Like, she is awesome.
No, yeah, this whole, like, she is handling her post-WWE, like her having been let go by WWE, she's killing it.
Like, yeah.
She knows what she wants to do, and she's just going to do it. And if you don't want to be a part of it, fuck you. Otherwise, you know, get on board. We're going to go do cool stuff.
Right now, like, in the world of independent wrestling, wrestling as a whole, women-wise, Mickie James is kind of the benchmark when it comes to, like, longevity. And she's very much the journeyman of women's wrestling right now. Of just, like, shit, she's been doing it longer than most at the highest level. And, like, there's not as, like, there that's not in WWE. She very much is that person. So, like, I don't know what to compare it to, but she very much is. If you're going to ask, like, who's the best just independent women worker out right now that you know you can just put in a match and they're going to give you gold almost every time, I'd be like, shit, Mickie James. And that's kind of her. Like, if it was just, like, get anybody for CCW. Like,
I would.
I'm not saying that she's, like, the highest work rate person. I'm saying just, like, independent wrestler.
I know what you mean.
Or wrestler is her.
I would compare her to, switch the genders, you're talking about Christian Cage.
Fair, yeah. Just somebody, like, that fucking knows it.
Yeah, that's because I was going to, I wasn't going to argue, because I do think you're right. But the name that immediately came to mind, except is now that she's retired, is Gail Kim.
Yeah.
But then when you said, like, but has done it at the highest stage, like, Gail Kim was never really given that fair shake in WWE.
Yeah.
Like, she was a women's champion, but, like, you could tell she was never really the one that they would focus on. Like, she was never really the focus of that division. Whereas Mickie James, I don't know if she was ever also really the focus, because she was there during the Trish and Lita years, and no one was the focus other than the two of them, mm-hmm. for better or for worse. But, and then when she came back, it was just like, why did you even bring her back if you're just going to do her like that?
Yeah. That was a big... when she came back and wrestled Asuka, that was the most important she ever was during her return.
Yeah.
And that was awesome. It's a shame what happened after that. She had such a cool return.
And it's wild that nothing happened after that. Like, they just kind of totally... Like, she just went from being lackey to lackey to... She was Alexa Bliss's lackey, turned on Bliss, or Bliss turned on her, and then literally, like, 3 weeks later, they were just back together like nothing happened.
And, like...
It's like, oh, you gotta not do that.
And it's super important to note that this is Mickie James. Like, as good as she is, that's what happened. And still is. Like, I still think she's probably one of the better women wrestlers out there right now. Especially now that she's not in WWE. Like, that's a talent that everybody should try to get on their show, because she can only help your show out because she's been everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, that's my thought on. But it's super cool. This in power, if I can get tickets, this will probably be the one I go to. So I can take Sadie, because Sadie loves women's wrestling. I'm also quite fond of women's wrestling.
This is one of two shows that are happening back to back as well, because the NWA is running two separate shows in St. Louis that weekend.
Cool.
Let me see what the pick. Okay, Dalton, I'm going to put you on the spot. Name two people not currently in NWA you want to see on the show.
Pretty easy. Seisheen. I want to see Seisheen wrestle for NWA Empower. And then also, I would be a really big fan if they got Lainey Luck. That's another person that I've been seeing work at Women of Honor recently that I'm like, yeah, no, she needs to be spotlighted a lot more, because she's only gotten better from the time we saw her at Girl Fight. Like, she can go. Those two would be amazing. I'm just trying to think of other people, but those would be the two names that come to the top of my head.
So I was wrong.
Uh-oh.
The NWA plans to host four nights of wrestling from August 28th through the 31st, including Empower, an all-women's event, and NWA 73, which will commemorate the NWA's 73rd anniversary. We have a chance to really show that women's wrestling deserves that prime real estate right at the top of the marquee, said wrestler Mickie James, who stood alongside Corgan when he made the announcement. So that's awesome.
I think we have enough St. Louis friends that we can crash in some couches.
I was going to say, we can bounce around and not just drive 2 hours back and forth every day. Hell yeah. That's cool as hell. Also, for those of you who were like, what's Wrestling with the Chase? What are they talking about? This is from up in St. Louis. Professional wrestling matches were last held at the Chase in early 1984, when World Wrestling Entertainment, then known as the WWF, produced two episodes of Wrestling at the Chase, one of which featured Hulk Hogan's return to the WWF after several years away. More than 1,000 episodes of Wrestling at the Chase aired to St. Louis homes from May 1959 until September 1983.
83. I think Huntsberger was just finishing up his undergrad that year, so he's a fan.
All right, Kevin, you get to do both. We don't stand for the Huntsberger slander on this show.
Oh, so. That used to be the only thing we stood for.
Yes, and I like to think that we have changed and that we have evolved.
No, I love Kevin
and we're
still.
Better people.
I'm not. The mouse in your pocket is...
I'm pretending to be, so that when the heel turn happens, it'll be even more stunning. And then, actually, everybody who listens will just be like, yeah, we fucking knew.
Yeah.
Duh. You're not a good person.
But speaking of women's wrestling, we got...
Yeah, so...
Oh, sorry.
Oh, no, go ahead.
Speaking of women's wrestling, Becky Lynch was at the Performance Center training, apparently.
Yeah.
So that's super cool.
I like that news.
That's
I like
somebody...
That news.
Oh, go ahead.
She's someone that WWE... I was going to say, like, I like that news, and she is something that the WWE desperately needs to come back. The women's division is in shambles, I'm going to say it. Not from a lack of talent, but a little bit from a lack of talent because they just cut way too many people. You know, they cut the Iconics and they cut Mickey James and it's like, fucking why?
But they rehired Eva Marie.
Yeah, and then they brought up Piper Niven as fucking Doudrop, which they at least are... It's very confusing to me because it's like, okay, Eva Marie's coming back as a vehicle for Niven. And because I liked that debut. I liked what they did with that, where it's like, I can't wrestle, but I have a replacement. And out comes, even though commentary had to pretend that they had never seen her before, even though she's been in the Mae Young Classic, and even though she's been on their own show with WWE NXT UK. So that was stupid. But I like this idea of, she's the heavy. Like, are they going to do the... You know, could they end up doing she ends up winning the world's title, but then is just like, oh no, Eva Maria's champion. She just wrestles for her. Like, that could be kind of funny. But then literally a week later, they give her this stupid name that's been rumored for a couple weeks now that they were going to do. And she immediately hates it and kind of just walks out on Eva Marie. So it's like, are they already turning? Like, are they scrapping this? Are they rushing it? I don't understand what's going on. Doesn't matter. We're ranting about Raw. That's not what the story is. The story is Becky Lynch potentially coming back. She's working out at the Performance Center. She's training in the ring because there was a couple different reports of, no, she was just there working out and visiting, to some people saying, oh, no, she was actually helping train with Indy Hartwell and a couple other of the NXT people. So I would love to see her come back. There was a Fightful report that apparently people have reached out and said that a lot of the women on the roster are excited for Becky Lynch to come back because it means that they will get more of a focus. Because without her, they felt the creative forces felt like they didn't have to focus on the women's division as much. But now when Becky comes back, especially when Becky comes back in front of crowds, you can't ignore that division anymore.
And it's so funny because that's who they want Charlotte to be. They want Charlotte to be the person. So bad. But then it's just like Becky Lynch and her Irish accent and her fucking good wrestling ability shows up and the I'm the man shit. And they're just like, Queen's Isle and Queen City, and no, we want this one.
I can't wait for her to come back and immediately get hypnotized by Alexa Bliss.
Oh, we're gonna have to, no, fuck, no, you can't, no, what's next? G4, D&D, and Peacock. Oh, I have that. I have
this
one
is
of
cool.
those.
I do love this. Let me get the link pulled up here so I make sure that I'm actually reading it correctly. If I was good at this job, it's not a job. If I was good at this, I would have already had this ready to go. So today it was announced on G4 TV's Twitter. And if you're wondering why we're talking about G4 TV, that's a video game show. This is a wrestling podcast. It's because Austin Creed, Xavier Woods, is one of the hosts for G4. This year with Wizards D&D, we bring you the Chaos Carnival. at Quiddy, Abria Iyengar? I butchered that name and I apologize. But it's at Quiddie if you want to follow her on Twitter. Will lead WWE superstars Austin Creed, Ember Moon, Mace, whose Twitter is now at Mace the Wrestler, and Tyler Breeze through an oddly familiar land of the Fae. D&D Live returns July 16th and 17th, and this is going to be streaming on Peacock, on G4, and D&D's Twitch and YouTube channels. So you're going to have plenty of ways to watch this. If you don't subscribe to Peacock, Twitch is free, YouTube is free. But I've seen a couple of the early, because there was a D&D show with those four people, and it was a mess, but in the best possible way. Like, it was a lot of fun to watch. Woods and Breeze together have such a chaotic energy. It's what makes Up, Up, Down, Down so special whenever Left, Right is on, or when they're doing the Battle of the Brands stuff, which they're doing another Gentleman's Breakfast in the morning. And I'm very excited to watch as much of that as I can on my lunch break, because I'm going to go on a tangent and it's going to be brief, I promise. But I really need you to watch this. I need you to be watching season 3 of Battle of the Brands, Dalton. You can start at the beginning. It will not take you very long to get caught up. But I need you to watch it strictly because of the Towers of Power. They have a tag team of Omos and Bivens. And it's incredible, and I love it so very much. Which, speaking of Bivens, I am taking a dedicated segment to talk about NXT last night.
Okay.
But not right now.
Oh, okay. Let's say it's like, but this is our show. You can do whatever the fuck you want.
No, because I want to finish this.
Okay.
So this is live on July 16th and 17th, but the benefit is going to be for Connor's Cure. And we don't need to tell you what Connor's Cure is because you don't want to hear us start crying on the air. But it's a wonderful charity. It's a wonderful cause. And this is going to be just such insanity of just like, it's going to be chaos. Not to bring back the E3 meme, but like, it's going to be chaos.
Chaos.
Chaos. No, don't do it back. Ew.
You don't get to do it, and then I don't get to do it. No. Going on. Okay, there we go. Also, this is something we would have talked about in the last couple weeks, but congratulations are in order to both Brandy and Cody Rhodes and Renee Paquette and John Moxley for both having their daughters.
Yay.
Both Liberty Iris Runnels and Nora, I don't remember her middle name, good. But congratulations. Seemingly both sets of babies and mamas are healthy and doing good. So that's exciting. I love the way that that they announced this was by Renee and Moxley's announcement was essentially, hey, so here's the new episode of my podcast, Oral Sessions. It's hosted by John, and the opening is pretty much like, yeah, if you're listening to this, Renee popped out the kid. so there's going to be a couple co-host episodes. He is the best. I love it so much. He's hosting the show for a couple episodes. There was one that's coming out that it's going to be, I don't know if I have who's hosting, but it's going to be Lita and Effie. And it's either Lita is hosting interviewing Effie or Effie's hosting interviewing Lita. And either way, I'm super on board with that. And I am really, really looking forward to that one. So, let me see what that newest episode was. Cause a new episode, I feel like, came out today. And is there not, it's just John Moxley with, doing a Q&A. So that's the newest episode, I think.
I love it looks
that.
Like
that makes me so happy.
Oral Sessions, the FanDuel one, it came out Tuesday. It was Lita.
Okay, so
there's been
three
episodes since the John Moxley one.
Okay, so that's the one that they that's the one that he did where it was just like, yeah, so if you're listening to this, Renee had the kid. and then she said she had some that were already recorded, ready to go, and then there were going to be some that are guest hosted.
I'm going to listen to the Ask Mox tomorrow on my way to work just so I can hear him say that. I was just like, yeah, she had it.
I haven't heard it yet, but that was what someone posted. I saw that on the announcement on Reddit. They were like, yeah, I figured she was because she mentioned like being close and all of that. So that's congratulations to both families. Let me see. I'm going to send you this video real quick.
Was it the footage of the AEW game?
Yeah, have you seen that already?
Of course I've seen that already. It's video games. Okay, I understand that.
I'm just double checking.
Not like watching actual wrestling shows nowadays are a little spotty for me because there's so much and I'm back at work. But it's video games. If it's video games or toys, your boy's there.
Well, so we got the footage from it's on the AEW Games YouTube channel, mm-hmm. which is just AEW Games. And it's Games 2-point show is what they call it. And this is episode 4. So, but we get a little bit of a look at it. Basically, the only thing we see is we see Darby Allin's character model. And we see some moves against pretty much just a generic green screen type character.
Yeah.
And I will say that I love it. It's worth noting a couple things if you're going in there. This is not a trailer. This is not a final product. This is rough, probably pre-alpha footage. So it's going to look better. But I like that they're not going for the WWE 2K hyper-realistic. It very much seems like they're kind of splitting the difference between the 2K sim games and, like, Battlegrounds, where that was just full arcade insanity. Is that what that game was called?
Battlegrounds is the most recent one, yeah.
Okay,
It looks a whole lot like, and I'm not breaking new ground with this, it looks a whole lot like Here Comes the Pain.
Mm-hmm.
Not graphics-wise, obviously, it looks better than that. I'm not a big fan of the way it looks right now, but again, it was very early footage, and a lot of that's probably going to get cleaned up. The way that the game was laid out and the way they were showing it, it looked a lot like Here Comes the Pain, and then the way that the movements worked looked like an early 2000s wrestling game. Not that, and that's not insulting. It's mm-hmm. just, it looks like that's how it's going to play. That being said, some of the best wrestling games came out between 2002 and 2004. Here Comes the Pain is a famous wrestling game that's not No Mercy that should be like in everybody's top five. If it plays like Here Comes the Pain, they have my money. But I want a game that plays like Here Comes the Pain, but looks like WWE 2K19.
And it's going to look closer to that than, you know, it's going to look more like a PS4 game than it is going to look like a PS2 game for sure.
Yeah.
But they've said multiple times, like the only fun wrestling games that have ever come out were pretty much those early SmackDown games and the No Mercy, THU, Aki, AKI, N64 games.
Yeah.
And they're not wrong.
They're not wrong.
Because those were the best games. So to finally get something that's not... Because, like, I've been very vocal and very critical about the 2K games for, like, the last... is however long I've been a part of PWU. So I'm very, very excited to hear more. And also, fun little bonus clip. Tony Khan might have accidentally leaked a release window for the game.
Yeah, early 2022, right?
2022 for sure. Yeah. I don't know about early, but 2022. Because he did an interview where people were apparently criticizing them for investing so much money, because it's apparently like 8 figures into the video game side of things. And he was just like, no, it's an investment. This is how companies run. They pay money so that they can make money later. And I know for sure that in 2022, we're making our money back. We're going to make more than our money back.
My favorite thing is whenever somebody... go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say, that could just be him acknowledging like that they're hoping to get the game out in 2022, but COVID really screwed up everything video game development-wise. So if it does get pushed back, like, it's understandable. But I do really hope. And it does, knock on wood, it does seem like AEW does not have the roster turnover issues that WWE always does.
Mm-hmm.
because like 2K21 is going to come out and that roster is already going to be updated because more than likely it's going to have like the Iconics and all the people that were just released.
They won't be in it. They get,
oh, really?
They,
you don't think so?
They get rid of people a lot quicker than that. The cutoff usually is like July. That being okay. said,
so it's going to be a lot of like, it's going to be a lot of like NXT call-ups that we get in the next, you know, month or so whenever they do the superstar shakeup
draft thing. Yeah, usually they stop adding people like a month and a half post WrestleMania, but they do take people out of it up until like 2 months before the game. They do try to keep that current because they do. I mean, that's a very common thing. Circling back to Tony Khan is I love when somebody tries, and by somebody I mean the internet wrestling community, be like, Tony Khan is wasting money with this video game, not understanding how money works. And when you have just an fucking gross amount of money like the Khans do, that the amount of money that they spent, it's sizable, but it's not threatening amount of money. Like,
no, like 20... What is... Okay, hang on. Let me...
Because it wasn't the deal, like, the video game thing, like, at 40 mil? Which, like, don't get me wrong, that's a gross number.
The number that I saw was 20.
Okay, I mean...
I'm not saying that that is the... You know, that I'm right, you're wrong. Let me see what... What's a game... Ratchet and Clank.
Yeah.
Although, that's not fair, because that's a PS5 exclusive, and this is more than likely going to be cross-gen.
Yeah.
Okay, here we go. Call of Duty, Cold War, budget.
And while he's looking that up, that number is...
Wikipedia, come on.
Okay, because there's a big difference. Before you say the number, what you're about to say is a company that publishes multiple games and with a developer that only like sent a game to that publisher. AEW is doing this all in-house, which is why that number is going to probably be higher than what you're about to say for Call of Duty this year. That's the thing that a lot of people aren't taking into account, is that AEW Games is going to become its own, or is its own entity. It doesn't have a publisher developer situation. It's all in-house from what I have understood. So it's going to be more expensive to make a game like that when you're doing everything in-house.
Yeah, it's going to be pretty low compared to like an overall, like a video game cost. I cannot find this budget at all. What the hell? It's not on Wikipedia. It doesn't have... How are you not going to have lists... budgets.
All right, so like Borderlands 3 budget was 140 million.
Yeah, there you go. So like, and also keep that in mind too, whenever if it comes out and it doesn't look like 2K19 and it doesn't, you know, have that cutting edge next gen graphics, also keep in mind that this is a relatively inexpensive game, like for essentially what's probably going to be in that AA realm of video game studios. So video games are very expensive to make, but also when you're selling them for $70 a pop, you sell a million copies, boom. So and people are desperate for a great, just fun wrestling game.
Oh,
like look at the success Retromania is having.
I was just about to say, by the way, we're getting an update and with the DLC. Not only are we getting Chris Bay, we are also getting a BWO arena, baby.
Oh, that's cool.
It's dumb and it's lame, but I'm super excited for it. Retromania, that's the highest selling point right now. That's the best wrestling game that's out currently. It's the only one, but man, it works. Like, it's a good...
You're all... You know all about that technically right is right, don't you, buddy?
Oh, brother, you don't even know. We're about to get there. Let's talk about Hell in the Cell!
Before we do, I want to... NXT. I'm carving out a little bit of time to talk about NXT. Yeah. Because one of the things that we would have talked about last week was the return of Samoa Joe. He's officially back as NXT. Blessed be the power game. He is William Regal's enforcer. And he's like slash head of security type thing. He cannot get fit. He's not an active competitor. Regal wouldn't let him compete. And he can only get physical if provoked, which on night one, Kyle O'Reilly and Adam Cole are brawling. They're trying to keep them separated. Adam Cole shoves Joe out of the way to get to O'Reilly. Joe just comes up behind him and puts him to sleep, which was fantastic. We've already gotten tension with Karrion Kross, who's apparently heel again, and Pete Dunne. So I don't know where they're going with this. One, I'm just excited Joe is back, because even as just like a menacing pseudo authority figure, like, he's gonna kill it because he is amazing at every aspect of pro wrestling that he's ever done.
Yeah.
But that said, getting all these teases for potential matches, like, if they don't plan on following through with some of that, that's gonna be very disappointing to a lot of people. And on the one hand, like, you have to be okay with Joe not wrestling again, and I understand that. But when you're presenting these, like, hey, wouldn't it be cool if we focus on Samoa Joe and Pete Dunne tensely staring at each other for 20 seconds? Don't you want to see them fight? Yeah, that would be cool. Okay, anyway, Pete Dunne's going to go wrestle someone else now, and Joe's never going to get in the ring again. Like, that's shitty. Don't do that. This makes me question what's going on.
My favorite thing about that whole thing, because it's very much they did that with Stone Cold whenever he was retired but came back as like the, oh god, it was the sheriff basically. But they said, right, Stone Cold, you can't touch anybody unless you're physically provoked. And that was the thing. Mm-hmm. Some people go up to me like, do you feel provoked? And all that, but they'd never touch him. I love in this time, and I mean, somebody would touch him, they'd get stunned and the crowd would lose their mind. In this case scenario, right, first night, he can't touch you unless you touch him. Adam Cole pushes him. Like he didn't know. Like he didn't realize that there was stakes.
No, see, I think that was the point. And I actually kind of dug that. Is it's just that much. That's how much he hates Kyle O'Reilly. Is he didn't care. He only saw Kyle. He needed to get to Kyle to punch him in the mouth. So he just, get out of my way. And it didn't, you know, click that, oh, I just shoved Samoa Joe.
Yeah, I know, but I love it. I mean, I'm not shitting and then he on it. I'm not shitting on it.
I need to get to this. I need to go punch this motherfucker. Get out of my way. And then he woke up.
Yeah.
And it was just like, wait a minute.
Because I don't hate it. I need you to know that I fucking loved it. I just love that it was the first night and somebody done fuck around and found out.
That's, oh, yeah.
That was and of course it was Adam Cole. It had to be Adam Cole. There was nobody else it should have been than Adam Cole. But
sure. So that was 2 weeks ago. Then last night on NXT, NXT's killing it lately. Like, between, because Hit Row, I don't know if you've been following NXT much.
I love Hit Row.
Is one of my new favorite things, because we're finally getting Swerve. Is like, he found it, and it's great. And that whole group is really, really cool. I'm super into that. Joe is back, and then the show closing angle is my favorite thing, because they got me. For a couple weeks, we've gotten the Diamond Mine is opening soon. It looks like this MMA camp. We don't really know what it is. No, we don't know who's going to be a part of it. But then last week, we got the coming next week. The mine opens next week. It's like, cool. The main event happens. It's Kyle O'Reilly beats Kushida. Cole comes out. They brawl. Security. All of like, it looks like the entire NXT Performance Center security team is focused on driving them out of the arena. While Joe and security are distracted, someone jumps Kushida. Hood comes down. It's Roderick Strong. Tyler Rust is there with him, as well as Hideki Suzuki, who they just hired as part of the April Performance Center class. They hired him on as a coach. And it's the three of them are Diamond Mine. But then Malcolm Bivens comes in, throws the cruiserweight title back onto Kushida, and it's like, holy shit, you're telling me I get a stable that's going to be Roderick Strong and Tyler Rust with what I'm going to guess is Malcolm Bivens as the mouthpiece and then Suzuki as like the coach. I don't know if they're going to have him wrestle, because if you're not familiar with Suzuki, I wasn't familiar with him until, because I searched around to try to find like who this was, because the recap that I read that I went to try to find who it was literally just called him some random Asian guy, which it's just like, wow, screw you. So that wasn't helpful. I ended up finding it. He has wrestled since like 2008, mostly in Japan. And he's been pretty consistent over there. Like, I don't think he's competed for like New Japan or any of the major major promotions, but he's someone who's like an indie guy that never really spent any amount of time in like a major company, but is like below, like he's Nick Gage, except not hardcore.
Damn it.
I was going to say Timothy Thatcher.
Yeah. We'll put him in there. No, moving on. But so I'm super excited for this. I am because Malcolm Bivens was he did Indusure before they spoiled the winner take all match. Then they got shut down. He was doing stuff with Tyler Rust previously, so it looks like now this is. But then they kind of went off TV for a while. So yeah, I'm all on board. My only reservation is Bivens is so hilarious, and this seems to be a very, very serious stable of how they're going to balance that. If anyone can do it, I think it's this group, because I don't know that much about Tyler Rust, but when he was with Bivens, I liked him quite a bit.
Yeah.
He was someone that I looked forward to seeing, and not just because he was a part of Bivens' act. Obviously, Roderick Strong is just ignorantly good at the professional wrestling. And then I'm excited to see what they do with Suzuki, because all he did is just pretty much just stand there and stare at Kushida menacingly. And it's like, I'm on board. So the reason they got me is because I thought Roderick Strong was going to be for the battery thing. Have you seen that at all?
Mm-mm.
So the last couple weeks, there's been a graphic of an empty cell phone battery, essentially.
Oh.
And it's like charging 10%. 20%.
Yeah.
And last week it went from like 40 to 50%. I thought that was going to be Roderick Strong, because he kind of made like an offhanded comment about like needing to recharge his batteries. So now it's like, okay, well, who's this going to be? My guess now is Finn Balor, but I don't know. But I'm excited for Diamond Mine. I'm excited to see what Hit Row continues to do. NXT is just doing a really, really good job. So credit where it's due there. But like you said, moving on, Hell in a Cell was this past weekend. I also meant to get those match results, because for the first time in the history of our illustrious game, Dalton won.
I'm posing and we're not even on Facebook Live.
And it's just such the asterisk.
You say asterisk, I say head ass.
I say asterisk. The pre-show was Natalya defeated Mandy Rose. Opening match was Bianca Belair retaining against Bayley in a Hell in a Cell match. Really good match. My favorite moment was Bayley pulling out the taped kendo sticks to prop them across and do the bridge again. And Michael Cole saying, oh, just like Shades of Inner Hell in a Cell match against Sasha Banks. Shut up, Michael. They were watching. And then he did.
That's the best feud in WWE. I don't care what you say. It is the best feud in WWE is Michael Cole and Bayley.
You're not wrong. The whole... her shaving Michael Cole at WrestleMania into her head, and he wasn't even on their match. I love that story. Seth Rollins, so we both got that one right. Seth Rollins defeated Cesaro in a match. That was one that I got right, because I figured this is leading to the rubber match, essentially.
Yeah.
Because there was this is now Cesaro is up 2-1. But one of those matches was the distraction with the Usos. So I think this is going to lead to... I think they're both going to be in Money in the Bank. And I think the blow-off match is going to be SummerSlam 2 out of 3 falls. Or something similar. Alexa Bliss defeated Shayna Baszler via hypnosis.
Oh, god damn
it. Not really, but like...
We can go through... Let's go through all of these and I can tell you how much I hated that.
We both got that one right. This one was funny to me. Sami Zayn defeated Kevin Owens by pinfall, because at this point I was like, because when this match started, I was like, this is the one I'm least confident in. And then Zayn won and I was like, oh, cool. I'm 4-0. This is awesome, because it was so unsure. I thought I had picked Sami Zayn, but I actually picked Kevin Owens and you picked Zayn. So you got the point there.
Tied up at this point, baby.
Yeah, it's tied up. And we both picked Bobby Lashley. to win the main event. So, and also Kevin Owens on Twitter said that he's going to take some time off. So good for him. Take care of himself. And then Bobby Lashley versus Drew McIntyre was the main event. This was the last chance. If McIntyre lost this match, he can no longer challenge Bobby Lashley for the WWE title. But then we saw him on Raw try to get into, to try to qualify for the Money in the Bank match. So, and then the match that was the deciding factor was Charlotte Flair defeated Rhea Ripley via disqualification. So Rhea Ripley is still champion.
Who won the match though?
Charlotte Flair won the match.
What's the what are we judging for on here? Are we judging for how they win or if they win?
You can be shitty all you want, because I'm gonna hit you with something that's gonna break your heart.
Go ahead.
Here, just a second. The finish of the match, though, because even before we started recording, you admitted was bullshit. Ripley throws the cover of the announce table. It hits Charlotte, and that gets her disqualified. So, what the hell? So I propose, because I wasn't thinking who actually wins the match. My thought was whoever wins the match will win the championship. That's why I picked Ripley, because I figured she was going to retain. So what I propose, not starting for Hell in a Cell, I admit you won Hell in a Cell. But from this point
Ciro, can you get that clip and send it to me so I can have a new text tone for my phone?
Don't do it. So what I propose is that from this point forward, championship matches are worth 2 points. We pick a winner and we pick who has the title. So if we just think like, so say Hell in a Cell, you know, say it was this one. I think it's Bobby Lashley wins and I think he retains the championship. This way it avoids that bullshit. Oh, well, you know, I like, again, it's my fault. I picked who I thought was going to leave with the title. And it was Rhea Ripley. I had that correct, but the champion's advantage thing kind of fucked me there.
Okay, so I don't want to do that, because that's going to get confusing. I am cool with compromise.
It's not going to get confusing at all.
It's going to get confusing that's for me. Easy. So, confusing for me is a different thing. Let's just say, instead of who's winning that match, who is leaving with the title?
Okay, so instead of
2 points, because I don't want to be like, well, fuck, I think that fucking Bobby Lashley is going to walk out with the title, but Lesnar's going to win because Lashley kicked him in the dick. No, I don't want to do that. I am cool with, I got the win, obviously. Yay.
Right.
But from now on, it's not who wins the championship match, it's who walks away with the title.
Who walks away with the title. Okay. I'm fine with that.
Okay.
Since you're too smooth-brained to figure out, you know, to keep track of an extra number.
I'm sorry. Who was 4-1 when they were, or who was 4-0 when they were? Was that you? Was that you there?
That wasn't me getting numbers confused. That was me forgetting who I picked because I was so unsure of that match. So, because my original thought was I'm picking Owens because he is going to continue to chase Cruz for the IC title.
Yeah, we weren't.
So he gets a win to get. He gets a win to bolster that, and then he can, you know, continue on with that program. There was a logic behind my thinking there. Yeah, jackass. But the thing that's going to break your heart is the punishment was going to be, you know, we have to give accolades and adulation to the winner. If you remember,
I didn't do
for
last
the last pay per view. You didn't do last month. We were going to do it at CCW, but that fell through. So not CCW didn't fall through. Just our ability to film that fell through. So I'm going to go ahead and say we're just calling that a wash. I'm not giving you one. You didn't give me one. So now the next one's going to be Money in the Bank.
I need you to know that I don't need 15 seconds of you telling me how fucking great I am to let me know that I whipped your ass in Hell in a Cell. All right. It's up here.
I don't need it either, but it's fun to have.
I need you to know, smooth brain up here. That's the one thing. When I die, my dying thought will be that one time I beat you in Hell in a Cell in the shittiest way. And that's all I need. I'll die happy.
I wish the roles would have been reversed and it would have been Charlotte had gotten it, because they absolutely would have reversed that decision. On Raw. And like, can you imagine how pissed you would have been if you thought you had won, but then the next night on Raw it's like, nope, we're changing the record books.
You would
Charlotte actually lost.
You would hear me brag about being the first 24-hour winner of our predictions game just to lose. I'd be like, so, you owe me You owe me 3 seconds of telling me how great I am, because I did technically win for 24 hours.
But that's going to do it for the show.
No, it's not. Fuck do we have a hypnotist on Hell in the Cell? That was bliss. That was the dumbest shit. For so many goddamn reasons. This is why Becky Lynch needs to come back. It's not because, like, the women don't have talent. It's because they're doing dumb shit like this. She had Nia Jax slap Reginald. Asa, do you get it? Meanwhile, one of the toughest, legit toughest bitches on that roster is...
I don't like that.
Oh, my bad. One of the legit...
That's unnecessary.
One of the legit toughest competitors they have on that roster is just like, oh, this is magic. No, that is legit stupid.
I just don't understand why it's only Bliss. Like, why did they get rid of Bray Wyatt?
Is Bray taking time off? He has to be taking time off. I mean, he's taking time off.
He's not on the shows, so I guess, yes, he's taking time off, but, like, and if it's something that he's requested, sure, fine. That's different. But, like, I don't understand, like, and we've seen reports, because there was the report that immediately got shot down and debunked that he wanted to take time off because he wasn't handling Brody Lee's death. Well, that had been rejected, that had been disproven. And there had even been a follow-up, I think, on Fightful, where it's just like, no, he's ready to go. Like, they're just not using him right now. But it's like, why is Bliss better? Because it's not that I think Bliss is doing a bad job with this. It's just, and I'm not saying that it would be better if it was Bray Wyatt, but at least his character is rooted in that kind of weirdness. Bliss just kind of got absorbed into it secondhand. And it seems like, well, if he's not around anymore, let her go back to being Alexa Bliss. Instead of this weird, like, oh, the Fiend awoke Lily, and Lily is her childhood demon best friend thing. And it's like, why is that a stretch? Like, maybe it's just my brain not working, of just like, why is this a stretch, but, like, evil, scary children's show demon god? Because again, but keep in mind, I love everything about the Fiend except those matches.
True. I have two theories on this, and this is why I said it's not the show yet, because I wanted to talk about this for a couple of reasons. I feel like Bliss is stuck in this role because of her look. Demon Bliss is probably one of the cooler things that they have just aesthetic-wise. I hate everything about it. It's not even Bray at this point. Like, Bray fit that role because he came up with it. Whereas they've just kind of co-opted Bliss into it, and she has a really cool fucking look. And I'm just going to say it, there's something a lot more appealing about a 5'1 petite demon running amok in WWE instead of somebody that's actually kind of legitimately scary looking. That being said, I think it's really dumb and lazy the way they're doing it in the women's division versus the way they did it in the men's division. Yeah, there was some really dumb shit in the men's division with Bray, but he never, like, possessed someone to slap another person.
Oh.
Did I miss something? I missed something, didn't I?
I mean, he maybe didn't do that exact thing, but look at the match he had with the John Cena.
Okay.
Look at he had the swamp fight with Braun that featured past Braun.
Let me say the difference in that is that you just said two cinematic matches versus an actual in-ring match. Alexa Bliss deadass stuck her hand out while hypnotizing Nia Jax, did this number, and then Nia Jax slapped Reginald. Also, really quick, because I just haven't been keeping up with main roster as much as I probably should be, why the fuck do we have Nia Jax, Shayna Baszler, and Reginald around now? That's fucking weird.
That's been a thing for a while. Nia has a crush on him.
Oh, they're doing the Enzo bit.
Kinda. So basically, whenever Carmella didn't win the title, she blamed Reginald and fired him.
Okay.
So he didn't really have anywhere to go. So he didn't even originally... Who did he try to latch on to originally?
Which I don't have any problem with Reginald. He's fun.
He tried to latch onto someone else during a women's tag title feud. They rejected him. So then he ended up just kind of like defaulting to trying to help. Basically, it's like they were wrestling. Whoever he was trying to help was wrestling Baszler and Jax. That team rejected him. So he's just like, okay, well then I'll help you guys instead.
Okay.
And so Nia thought he was cute. So she helped him. She allowed him to continue to hang out with them, even though Baszler hates him.
Okay, so everything about that sucked. the match wasn't great. The whole hypnotist, like, and it's one of those things that, like, I feel insulted when I see it. Because, again, like, I'm okay with the cinematic match having that shit, because it's a cinematic match, and, like, I there's no rules in a cinematic match. I watched the Boner Yard match, and I think it was my match of fucking 2020. Like, I'm cool with this goofy shit. But you have to contain the goofy shit within a goofy shit setting. This was in the middle of a pay-per-view. It's the fucking, Walking Dead. I know it's not Walking Dead, but the Dawn of the Dead or whatever. That lumberjack match. It's that level of insulting, where it's like, all right, cool. But the difference is, at least this is kind of story, but it's even more dumb than just having a bunch of zombies be lumberjacks. What the hell, WWE? I want to love you, but I watch these pay-per-views and then you do something stupid like this and, like, I don't even want to watch your show now. Duh! Now you can call the show. I'm sorry.
When did Shayna Baszler kill Vince's cat? because holy shit, how does she go from the fiercest, most unstoppable force in the women's division of NXT to biting Becky Lynch's neck and hypnosis?
That Hell in the Cell, not Hell in the Cell, the other one, Big Cage, Elimination Chamber, where she murdered everybody. And I was like, oh shit, this is going to be good. She's going to beat Becky Lynch.
Yeah, oh shit, here we go.
Yeah, and then she bites her neck like a vampire. And I remember telling you guys, this is the fucking stupidest thing ever. And it's been that.
Little did you know.
That I was right again.
That was going to be a highlight.
I hate when I fucking call it. Because when I call it hard. Mike and Maria Kanellis fucking called it. Shayna Baszler, super shocked I called it, because this is somebody that, like, well, I guess same thing with Mike Bennett, but, like, this is somebody you can make money with, and you're like, she's hypnotized now by Alexa Bliss, and this doll, and you have Shayna Baszler selling for a doll, and I hate everything, and there's my pin. You can call the show now, but I just need you to know that I was really frustrated when I watched that, and that happened before the Charlotte Ripley match, yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's why I didn't watch the Charlotte Ripley match, because I was so annoyed with that match that I just didn't fucking care anymore.
Mm-hmm.
That's the, how annoyed I was.
It's the Jesse explain me and Jesse explaining big comic arcs to each other of whenever we didn't read them, of it's just like, okay, so none of this is going to make any is not going to make any sense, but if you've been following from the beginning, you can kind of piece it together. Like, it's that. That's what wrestling has become at this point. So, but that is going to do it for us. We're going to get out of here. Sorry again, we didn't go actually live on Facebook. Hopefully OBS, I can get that figured out. I'm going to work on that while I'm waiting for the shows to render and all that. So, hopefully next week, but tomorrow night is PZ85 AD and then Horse Time on Friday. I actually popped in on last week's, watch me be disengaged as I was actively playing Fortnite for the first part of my appearance. I just saw my chance to make a joke, so I jumped in. And then, yeah, next Monday, I think we're coming back with Nerd Up, and everything kind of kicks off from there. So you can, of course, if you want to keep up with us, Twitter and Twitch, twitter.com/twitch.tv/the5starman with the number 5 if you want to keep up with what I'm doing. Of course, facebook.com/podzilla1985 for check all the live shows. Check out the Pro Wrestling Tees store for Dalton Anthony, PWTs, or ProWrestlingTees.com/DaltonAnthony. Every single time I get it wrong, because it makes sense, it should be that. ProWrestlingTees.com/DaltonAnthony. Get your Dalton Anthony merch there. And then until next time, thank you everybody for hanging out. We will talk to you soon.